So we're recording this on Halloween, and Nick Lacazzi's not here today, Adam, because he's already out trick-or-treating. Unbelievable.
I think that's a great move. You got to get out there early and get all the good candy before everyone else does. Those kids are in school right now. Nick is doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. I got to get the king-size candy bars before they go out.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the first ones to go.
What are you being for Halloween, Nick?
A lion.
A lion. Are you serious?
Or are you lying?
I'm going with my niece.
Oh, my God.
I'm going with my niece.
Is this like an ode to UN Asesmatis or what?
It is one of the Lion King lions, I must say. It's my plea to get him to stay.
Are you dressing up, Adam?
I always go as Wayne Gretzky, which means I just put on my Wayne Gretzky jersey. They're like, I'm Wayne Gretzky. What, I'm not Wayne Gretzky?
I'll let my kids handle the costumes. My son Christopher.
What are you going as, Brian? Can you beat a lion?
I do not dress up for Halloween. I hated it when I was a kid, man. The only time Halloween was fun was in college, because you just dressed up and you did the same stuff that you did every Friday night and Saturday night, right?
This is true. You're right. You're right. I mean, maybe you got egged as a kid.
I did get egged as a kid. That's probably what plays a huge role in this.
See, there
shaving
it is.
Cream, there egg. It's so ridiculous.
I can't believe you did that to him, Nick.
Please. Nick was like 4 years old.
That's incredible.
All right, let's go to the show.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the show. Brett Sergalis from the New York Post is going to join us in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about the future of Dylan McIlrath back in the American Hockey League. I can't believe he didn't get claimed off waivers the other day. And, of course, a huge, impressive 6-1 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Sunday night. Adam, holy smokes, they just blew them out of the building.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you even take away the hat trick from Michael Grabner, and it's still 3-1. And
yeah.
They just totally out. I'm not worried about the Lightning. I know this isn't a Lightning podcast. I think they're going to be good, but something seems off with them right now.
It was a statement victory after the game against Carolina. You lay an egg against the Hurricanes, and then you come in and blow out a team that's been to the Stanley Cup Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals. It's a huge win. I must say, I did not expect the Rangers to look that good.
Nor did I. That was really unbelievable. And Michael Grabner, who I picked on ad nauseum for weeks and weeks and weeks, he gets a hat trick, 5 goals in 9 games. Adam, if he's going to contribute offensively, this is a team that can really roll 4 lines.
I'm not banking on Michael Grabner, right, you know, putting up some sort of 30
Nick
to 40
Nick ordered a jersey
goal
after the game last night.
I believe you ordered 2 jerseys, home and away.
That's right.
But he, you know, if you can get, he's a fourth liner who's playing on the third line. If you can get goals from your fourth liner, especially him, when it's probably going to be mostly shorthanded chances,
that
really gives your team a boost. I mean, that's stating the obvious, but that's something that not a lot of teams can provide.
Nick, I know you're not surprised, right?
He's not your typical fourth liner, Brian.
No,
you see
not
what he could do when he plays up a little bit. You're paying him like a fourth liner, but he can mix in on that third line if injuries happen and when you need defense on a second line for a game or two and not really be too out of place. Look, he's a more brittle Carl Hagelin, and he is producing just like that. Look, do I expect him to score 20 goals? No, but can Michael Grabner score 15 goals for the Rangers? I think that's a huge yes. He scored 30 goals in the NHL, and on the fourth line, he is an incredibly effective and potentially incredibly important piece for the Rangers.
Well, that was my concern after his time with the Islanders. I mean, his rookie year, he was obviously fantastic. A Calder finalist, scored 34 goals. But after that, I mean, he would get breakaway after breakaway after breakaway. It was almost like the kid in Mighty Ducks who couldn't stop. He would just slam it to the end board.
Mendoza.
Right. I mean, I said this to Mike Carver on the Islanders Point Blank podcast a few weeks ago. It was like Secretariat's legs and Claude Lapointe's hands. That's what Michael Grabner was. But if he's going to convert on half these breakaways, the Rangers are in great shape.
If he can convert on a tenth of the breakaways, if he can just convert on one of the breakaways a week, it'll be a great thing for the Rangers.
Well, it's like Nick said, if he could score 15 goals, he's almost halfway there already. It's crazy.
Yep.
Well, let's remember Oscar Lindberg had like 63 goals in the first 4 games last year and then didn't score for 27 games. So, you know,
let's give Grabner a little bit more credit than Lindberg. He had 30 in the NHL. It's not like he was known for, he didn't like, Lindbergh scored more in the NHL than he did in the AHL, which is a lot more rare than what Grabner's doing.
Remember when Aaron Voros got off to such a hot start?
Oh, my God.
The point is, he's got
– Nick, he had 2 goals before, and now he's got 5.
This
scoring
is true.
3 oh. goals in one game kind of inflates your stats a bit.
I agree. I agree with that. But I would have taken 1 goal. If he had 3 goals to this point, I would consider that a success.
I have to say, driving into the city today, I did not think Aaron Voros' name would come up on the podcast.
I cannot believe you did not think that was going to happen. That's a lot.
Beautiful job by Adam Rotter. You know, and the other great thing about what's going on with the Rangers right now, fellas, is everybody's contributing. JT Miller, Jimmy VC, Rick Nash, they all score goals. What a shot by Rick Nash Sunday night. Everybody is putting up points right now. It's a great sign.
They're in a great run. I think JT Miller might be their best player right now. He's playing on an absurd level.
Yep.
He's been really good. Hayes has been good. I'm sorry to cut you off again, Nick, but you can go now.
You could have given me 5 guesses, and I don't think I would have been able to tell you that Miller was leading the team in points until I looked at the stat sheet. He's been better than I thought, and at this point, his name might have to come off the trading block as well.
Yeah, you can't trade.
When it comes to it, like, he's playing so good, Kreider's playing so good, it might not be worth it to trade them for the defenseman.
I don't think his name was ever on the trading block.
On this show.
Well, I know in Nick's mind, Nick's traded him for Yakupov 14 times. But Miller's been really good. I think that especially in his role now, you know, he's on the third line. That's a great matchup for him. It's a great matchup with Hayes, too, going up against guys who probably can't match their talent and speed. So right now he's cashing in.
Well, this is what I'm getting at. It's not just Miller has 9 points and the next guy has 5. Like, Miller has 9. Zibanejad has 8. McDonough has 8. Nash has 7. Zuccarello has 7. Kreider has missed a few games. He has 7. Grabner has the 5 goals. VC has 5 goals. I mean, contributions are coming from all over the place.
Literally every single line for the Rangers. You could talk about anybody that you want. Hayes has looked incredible. Some of the behind-the-back passes, his confidence is back up to being through the roof. Really, the only guy who hasn't stood out, I would say, is Stepan, and he's got 5 points. So if Derek Stepan's going to have a quiet 55-point season, that's something that you can greatly accept as well.
Doesn't have a goal yet. Any concern there, Adam? Stepan doesn't have a goal?
I'm not concerned. I think he's historically been a slow starter at times. I feel like November is usually the month when he gets red hot and it's like a point per game. So I'm not concerned, but there's no reason to be concerned right now because he doesn't need to score. Everyone else is.
it's
Michael Grabner scoring.
With these Rangers forwards right now, if they stay healthy, and Kreider might be the best of the bunch, that's what gives – you want to say optimism. You don't want to be too optimistic going into it, but the Rangers forwards have a chance to genuinely be one of the deepest and most well-rounded in the NHL. Sure, there's not a single name that really jumps off the page that you think could match up with the Crosby or the Ovechkin or the Stamkos, but they're beating these guys, and they're beating the heck out of them. The only egg that the Ranger team has laid was against Carolina.
We're going to talk about Dylan McArath later in the show. Before we get to that, because I keep screaming about where AV is putting the goalies in terms of starts. Like, why did Lundqvist start against the Coyotes? I thought last night for sure Lundqvist would start against the Tampa Bay Lightning, but Antti Raanta has been great when he's been in there.
I'll be honest. I had a feeling that they'd
it's
split
so
the games. I don't know why. I think part of the reason Raanta got last night is that Lundqvist historically hasn't been that great against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And I think that I think Vigneault was talking at some point over the weekend about how, you know, when he's setting up the plans with Ben, he relies so much on Benoit Lair, and Benoit Lair has all the stats about, you know, past history with teams. And I think that, you know, I'm not saying that Lundqvist will never play against Tampa Bay,
right,
but, you know, maybe there's a situation where it's like Montreal for a little while where he didn't play against the Canadiens for a few years because he couldn't win. But then obviously in the playoffs, he was there. So I think that, you know, maybe Raanta's a guy who can play some of these games.
At this point, I'm done questioning AV when it comes to the
goalies.
I'm not going
to do it
because they hit. You know, when Lundqvist wants the day off, or who knows how it works. That's the one spot where you think that communication is the most vital. And I have to imagine that Lundqvist has some say in when he plays and doesn't play, and if he gets angry that Vigneault sits him against the Lightning and Raanta essentially pitches a shutout. I mean, he gave up the goal in garbage time.
Yeah.
What, you can't complain. It's tough to question when you got one of the best goalies in the world and a coach who is using him properly thus far.
31 saves for Raanta on Sunday night. How about this, fellas? This goes back to his days with Chicago, obviously, but in 33 home games in the NHL, he's 21-4-4 with a 1.85 goals against, a .933 save percentage, and 4 shutouts.
His stats are, like, absurd. Really, and he's obviously played on good teams, and, you know, it's not all him, but, like, he's got stats that make you think, like, how is this guy not starting somewhere? How is he not already in the Hall of Fame?
He's such a good dude.
I don't know if it's his coffee or his mattress, but if the Rangers are going to play him on the road, they better get a spot on the plane for whatever it is that makes him so good at home in comparison to on the road.
Before we get to Brett, what's the latest on Kreider, Adam? When can we expect to see him?
I believe he's expected to play tomorrow night.
That's a good sign.
He's been skating. Alain Vigneault didn't want him to play before he got a practice in. He should be practicing, you know, in about 20 or so minutes when the Rangers take the ice. And I think that we'll see him back in the lineup tomorrow.
And it's a great sign, Nick, that he was probably their best player before the injuries. Missed 4 straight games. They haven't missed a beat without him.
No, like I hopped on it once or twice. The only game where they missed him was Carolina. It's the only time where the Rangers, even in their prior 2 losses against the Blues and against the Red Wings, the Rangers have dominated the puck. They've played what's now become New York Rangers hockey. And in a game like against the Hurricanes game, I think that's where we saw they needed Kreider, and you saw how important Kreider's going to be. And then they turn around and absolutely smoke the Lightning.
They sure
so it
did.
Doesn't make sense. I can't put my finger on it, Brian, but the team has a lot of potential. And when Kreider gets back, if Zibanejad's, can you say Zibanejad's had a quiet 8 points? He hasn't been as distinctly noticeable without Kreider, because before you noticed them every shift. But like you said, the other 9 forwards have not missed a beat.
They sure haven't. Let's get Brett's take. He joins us now. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Brock?
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I mean, how good are these guys? I mean, Sunday night was unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I think what you saw on Sunday was how good they can be.
Right.
You know, how good they are is still to be determined. But you definitely have seen in snippets here how good they can be with their speed and their offensive ability. It can be breathtaking.
Brett, is there something different, a different feel, if you will, in the locker room this year? It just seems like the forecheck, and as a five-man defensive unit now, they're playing a little bit more together than maybe we saw all of last season.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a different feel every year, but I think this year is a lot bigger difference than the differences in the years past, because for a lot of reasons, but I think mostly because there are a lot of new faces in there, you know, and there are the guys that are really contributing. You know, you look at Zibanejad and Ishii and Buchnevich, and it's like these guys are really contributing. These are a big part of their team, and they're new, you know, so it's like where they were relying on, you know, now it's like they're not so much the same team, so there's a different feeling. And you know, it helped a lot that, you know, McDonough starts the way he has. I mean, he's been just a monster. And Mark Stahl looks good again. And even when Girardi's playing, he looks good. You know, I mean, it's really important that those guys come back and look the way they can. And so, yeah, there is a little bit of a different feeling. They're not that same team that has had cup aspirations. You know, I mean, they're kind of just focusing on this year. They don't exactly know what they have. You know, last year was a bust because they blew out in the first round. Everyone was like, well, you know, inside the room, the feeling was like, well, you know, they were always looking ahead to the playoffs because that's really what mattered, because they've kind of done everything else. And now it's kind of a new team, so there was some uncertainty. And so now that they're off to this good start, there's definitely a big difference in the way they feel about themselves than they did in years past.
Brett, you and I covered plenty of Islander games together watching Michael Grabner, and every time he went on a break, we'd be like, oh, where's this puck going? It never went in the net. It was going somewhere else. But he's burying these chances, and if he continues to score, it makes this team so much better.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, like, Grabner, the speed is always there,
yeah.
But it's how he uses it,
right.
You know? And there's a lot of times he's going 100 miles an hour, and it goes nowhere, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And he does the same thing that he did with the Islanders, where you see it, where, like, the puck's just about going into the defensive zone, and Grabner's just hanging around the red line.
Yep.
He's just hanging. He's just waiting for it. And then someone springs him, and he flies like a shot out of a cannon.
Right.
And he shoots it right into the goalie's pants. You know, like he's done that so many times. Or just misses the net completely, you know.
Right.
But the speed is really what's huge now. And he knows that he's here. He's not a top six guy. He knows his role here. It's to be a penalty killer, and it's to bring that speed on the bottom six, which they didn't have in the past. You know, so if you tell me in 3 weeks he's going to still have five goals, I believe you.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's been, you know, it's been a terrific start, and the chances he has got to be buried, and that's huge for them. They get those contributions from the bottom six.
Let's stick with some of these new guys you talked about, and looking at the stat sheet, four of the Rangers' top 10 scorers are new players, but Jimmy Vesey, I mean, the expectations were high, I think, from a lot of people. We tried to temper them a little bit here. I know both me and Brian and Adam as well, but I mean, five goals already. Can this kid meet the expectations that he created for himself, really?
You know, the expectations, I think, were tough with Jimmy because he wasn't such a highly thought of prospect before the last 2 years, you know, and then the whole free agency thing, you know, it was a slow summer. It wasn't, once those big trades were made with Subban and everything, you know, and even the Rangers trading Broussard, it was a slow new summer for the NHL. So there's a lot of focus on this kid, but there wasn't a lot of, you know, it wasn't clear how his game was going to translate to the NHL. And, you know, before he came to the Rangers, you know, some of the scouting reports that I had heard is that he's a really good two-way player. He's really smart. He's got a little more grit. He wasn't just one of these kids coming out of college that can, you know, skate circles around people and score 100 goals. And I think that's the most impressive thing. Like, he's getting, and when he gets good chances, he's burying them, like you saw last night. You know, he obviously has a knack for the net. But he's really responsible both ways. I mean, if he wasn't, there's no way he'd be playing the minutes that he's playing and in the situations he is. So, I mean, expectations, I don't know. It's hard to think of what people really could have expected from him. You know, I think there was just a lot of talk about him over the summer, and gosh knows I wrote a lot about him during those downtimes, but you know, so expectations, it was hard to say what they were, but he's definitely, you know, he definitely has the potential to be a really good player. You know, I don't know if he's going to score, you know, 30 goals in his rookie year, but he has the chance to you know, really make an impact.
How about JT Miller, Brett? 9 points in 9 games. I don't think he's going to be an 80-point guy when it's all said and done. Consistency's always been a flaw, but can he find some consistency? Can he become a 65-point player?
Yeah, you know, I was actually just talking about it last night. It feels like every game I watch him play this year is better than the last.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, it's the best game I've seen JT play in a long time. And it's like, well, that's just the way he's playing. You know, I think from being around him now for a couple of years, like, you know, you can get coached talking about, like, oh, you know, he's going through the process, right, like, of a young player. And it's, the thing is with JT, like, you can see the maturity. He's just, like, he's just calmer. He's, like, he's calmer around the team. He's calmer when we walk into the locker room. He's just more comfortable. And, you know, he grew up as a kid that was a skill-based player, and now he's, like, a big body, he's a power forward, and he's accepted it. And that's what he does. You know, he throws his body around. He goes to the hard areas, and he makes plays. And his skill is not diminished at all just because he does that stuff. You know, kid's got great vision. He's got great hands. And, you know, and I think, you know, and, yeah, right, is he going to score 80 points? Probably not. You know, at some point he's going to have, you know, the production's probably going to stop a little bit. But, you know, this, if he could keep playing like this, and that's another thing about this Ranger team, really, when you talk about it. It's like, yeah, you have these new guys, but, like, JT's playing really well. Kevin Hayes is playing. It's probably off to the – this is probably the best 3 weeks I've ever seen him play for the Rangers, too. So, it's, you know, these guys that have been around are better. you know, they're better than they were last year.
Yeah, so it's like they're all playing well at the same time, Brett. I mean, I don't know if they can all sustain it, at, you know, for 80 games, but it's great to see. But before we let you go, I was surprised McElrath didn't get claimed. What was your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I really thought it was 50-50. It's hard to say. I mean, the fact is, like, listen, if somebody wanted him, they would have made a decent enough trade offer. And there really wasn't a good enough trade offer for Gordon to even consider.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I also thought, too, that it's once he clears, it's a one-way deal. Nobody wants to take him. If he hasn't shown he can play for the Rangers, nobody wants to take him on a one-way deal and then find out that he can't play.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that was going to, the only team that was going to claim him was someone that he'd go in the lineup right away.
Right.
So now that he's cleared waivers, now there's a better chance. I think he's more attractive as a trade chip because now somebody can trade for him and keep him in the minors.
Yeah.
You know, and not have to expose him to waivers again. Just in case they don't have a roster spot open right away. So I thought it was 50-50, but I wasn't totally shocked at a third.
Yeah, I just thought he would get a chance somewhere. But we'll see what happens down the road. Brett, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon, pal. Yeah.
All right, you got it, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Brett Sergalis does a great job covering the Rangers and Islanders for the New York Post. Adam McElrath, what do you think?
I wasn't surprised he wasn't claimed. He has no value right now. Like, he can't play, it seems like, in the NHL. And it just seemed like no one wanted to take him for free to even just...
It's look, crazy.
The Maple Leafs can't take Dylan McElrath.
Arizona?
Like, yeah.
So one of these Western teams?
I still don't think McElrath will be with the team at the end of the year. I think that they'll find a way to move him because, you know, he has that 42-game UFA thing. So I think someone will maybe trade a fourth, fifth conditional pick for him and then, you know, give him 10, 15 games, see if they want to re-sign him before he can become a free agent.
Nick, I just thought there was enough there the way he played last year that a GM somewhere in this league would take a flyer on him.
I couldn't agree more with you, Brian. He's shown flashes. Sure, he gets beat every once in a while, but as a young defenseman, he really hasn't been given any leeway to make the mistakes that most young defensemen in the NHL make. You know, when McElrath made a mistake, he's out of the lineup. You know, It wasn't like McElrath got the chance to make a mistake and then learn from it and not make the mistake. It was just he makes one mistake and he's gone. And that's really the way his whole career has gone so far. It definitely surprised me that he did not get claimed, that he's not in the NHL right now. But at this point, you just don't know. Maybe he goes back to the minors and can learn another trick or two and he'll get another crack with the Rangers. Maybe it's like Adam said and he gets traded. But you have to think at some point somebody's going to give him a shake of seeing if he could play in the lineup and change a game physically on their back end.
Yeah, I just think there's enough in his game where he could play 12 to 14 minutes somewhere.
I think that he's going to play somewhere, whether it's at the end of this season or he's going to sign a deal to – you know, he'll probably sign a two-way contract next season with someone. But right now, his skating just doesn't appear to be good enough. And all you hear about all across the league is it's skating, it's speed. And, you know, he just isn't a good enough skater right now. His physical play is great. You know, if he could play like his hero Shea Weber, he'd be in the lineup. If he could skate like Shea Weber, but he can't for right now. Maybe in 3 weeks something will change and he'll turn into a great skater.
Where does Yaroslav Halak end up, Nick?
What teams are really in the goaltending market? The Kings aren't taking his contract with more than a year left. I mean, does Toronto give him a look? If Anderson keeps struggling,
do
they give him a backup option?
You
know, it's not like they need the money right now.
Dallas has shown everybody that you can't commit $10 million to goaltending. You just can't.
Yeah.
Maybe Arizona, Carolina, possibly, but I don't think they're going to trade Halak within the division, right?
I would assume that. I mean, at this point, what do you want for him, too? Are you just trying to get out of the money?
I just want two goalies. I'm not asking for the lottery here. Just two goaltenders like every other team in the league? Is that too much to ask? What do you think, Adam?
The Islanders are not like every other team in the league, so it is not unexpected. But here, I'm just going to throw something out there. Maybe it's a topic. I don't know if it is. I think that what the Islanders should do is somehow trade for Ben Bishop. Because in what...
Then you're going to have three goalies again.
No, well, you'd get... It's probably not the same trade. But what better way to show... For these new owners to show John Tavares that they're dedicated
committed,
to really winning than getting, you know, a guy who didn't show last night, but who is a top seven goalie in the league who can really elevate your team to go from being a middling playoff team to being a legit playoff team. Yeah. I think it'd be a good move for them.
Sunday night aside, Ben Bishop's pretty good, right? You can check out the Islanders Point Blank podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to discuss this ridiculous goaltending situation. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point Blank podcast, along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Oilers are in town later this week. Connor McDavid should be fun, right?
I'm really excited because I haven't seen a lot of McDavid. I watch all the highlights, but I'm really excited to see him, for 60 minutes on against the Rangers. And then I think next week or in 2 weeks, they go out to
Edmonton. They do.
So it's a lot of Connor McDavid, and hopefully that's not a bad thing for the Rangers.
That'll be a good test for the Rangers defense, right?
I'm excited to see if the Rangers defense can prevent McDavid from getting that two or three step burst, because we know they're not the most fleet of foot. So if he gets it against the Rangers defense, he's gone. It's going to be their positioning. And another good test for them is going to be Lucic. Can they handle his physicality down low, or is he going to be dominating Lundqvist's crease?
Edmonton Oilers, 7 wins in 9 games. Hopefully they make the playoffs this year. Be a lot of fun, right?
I'd like to bring back my Aaron Voros comparison. I hope that they're good, but I'll just say that, it's a long season.
Yes, amen. All right, brothers, great show. We'll see you next week. Thanks again to Brett Sergalis. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you soon.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.